Well, again, happy Father's Day to all the dads. And you know, fathers often are underappreciated. I mean, you know, it does happen. I heard about two little first graders going out from Sunday school, and the one said to the other, "Do you really believe all that stuff about the devil?" And the other first grader says to him, "No, I think it's like Santa Claus, it's your dad." And so, you know, it's a tough thing being a dad. Sometimes you run into problems, but it's an exciting thing, too, to figure out what you're going to get for dad on Father's Day. That's a challenge. I was reading about a father sharing his memories from years past about Father's Day. He said this. He said, "On Father's Day, I gave each of my five kids $20 so that they could go out and buy me something, you know, for Father's Day. You got to plan for these things." So they go to the store, and he said, they buy two packages of underwear. And each one cost $5. You know, this story came from a long time ago. And each package has three pairs of shorts. So they tear them open. Each kid wraps up one pair. The sixth pair goes to the Salvation Army. He said, "Now, what ends up happening? On Father's Day, I'm walking around with new underwear, and my kids are walking around with $90 worth of change in their pockets." So, you know, you just got to plan ahead for Father's Day, and it's wonderful that many of you have planned ahead, and you're getting together with family, and you're able to do that, and that is a gift from God. And I want to ask a question of our dads. If, as a dad, you could have the privilege of speaking with anyone from the past, present, or future for 30 minutes, who would you pick? You know, I mean, a lot of people come to mind. Say, yeah, that if I could speak to anybody, past, present, or future, who would I want to speak to? And I'm going to have a 30-minute time frame. Who would I want to speak to? And I got to thinking about that and then tying in kind of with what we're going to look at together in God's Word today. Then I want to pose a second question, and that is this. Dads, if you could speak directly to the creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, the designer of the universe, if you could speak to him for 30 minutes, would you do it? How often do you do it? Do you know how to do it? What would you say? And we've got a Father's Day gift for all of us here. For the fathers as well as the mothers and the young people too. And that is this. We have a teaching lesson from the very Son of God on how to talk to God the Father. I want you to turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is a Father's Day gift, I think, that we all can take to heart today. How do you talk to God? God the Father, God the creator of all things. What do you say coming into the presence of awesome holiness and total infinite power and wisdom and majesty? And this passage in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. But many Bible teachers suggest that a better title would be the Model Prayer. Because the context is this, if you look in the parallel passage in Luke where this same account is given, the disciples say to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Now, what had happened? They had watched the life of Jesus and how he would get up early at times and pray. He would stay up late at times and pray. He would just talk to the Heavenly Father spontaneously through the day. And they saw the grace and the power and the love of God flowing through his prayer life that sustained him in his daily life. And they said, you know, we need to learn how to pray like he does. And these are the teaching words that Jesus gave. This is powerful stuff. It's not meant to be a liturgy that we just quote these words without understanding them. It was given as a model to teach us the basic elements of prayer, so that we could put our own heart and words into a heart-to-heart communication with God the Father and realize that we're following the principles laid out by God the Son, who knows best how we can do this and how we can grow in this wonderful privilege of talking to the Creator God. And so I want you to see some things from this passage that I hope will help us all to spontaneously just grab hold of this privilege of having our lives be transformed by learning on a regular basis to talk with God the Father. The first thing I want you to see is this, the miracle of relationship. May we never get over it. The miracle of relationship. Matthew 6, 9, after this manner, therefore pray ye. They ask, now he's answering, here's how you should pray. Use this as a model. Our Father, which art in heaven. When you think about that, it's amazing to think that the Creator would design a way that we who are sinners, separated from a holy God by our sin, could be forgiven and accepted into a family relationship. That we don't just stand in awe from a distant God who's some powerful force. God is a person. And God has made a way for us to be connected to Him personally in a family relationship. Our Father. May we never get over the miracle that God made a way for that to be a reality. It's explained well in Ephesians chapter 2. And you, believers, has He quickened or made alive spiritually, who were spiritually dead and separated from God in trespasses and sins, wherein in the time past ye walked according to the course or ways of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan. The spirit who now works in the children of disobedience, he's working in the hearts of unbelievers who fight against God's purposes, among whom, the unbelievers, also we all had our conversation or our manner of living in times past in the lusts or passions of our flesh, fulfilling and indulging the desires of our flesh, our sinful passions, and of the sinful mind, were by human nature the children of wrath. We were under the sentence of God's wrath, even as others. And then here's the key verse. But God. This is what God the Father did. He stepped in to this terrible situation where all mankind is separated from Himself and He made a way. But God. God the Father, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were spiritually dead in our sins, He's quickened us. He's made us alive spiritually together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He's raised us up together with Christ, the risen Christ when we believed, and made us sit together in heavenly places. God now sees us as accepted in the Son, Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father. May we never get over the amazing miracle. I get to call God my Father. The holy God accepts me as a child because I've accepted His Son, Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Wonderful Father's Day gift He gave to us, the privilege to be in His family. And so praise God for the new birth. The new birth. The Bible speaks of it often. Remember how Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. You have to be born of water and the Spirit. You have to have a physical birth, but that won't get you into heaven. You have to have a spiritual birth from above. Then He went on to explain how He would go to the cross and die, making the payment for our sin. Then He explained in John 3:16, God so loved the world, God the Father, He gave His only Son as the sacrifice, the substitute, that whoever believes and trusts in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. What a gift that we receive the gift purchased by another when we believe on Jesus. And as John 1:12 says, as many as received Him. It's not enough just to know about God and His Son Jesus, but I have to personally reach out the empty hand of faith and accept Christ, admit my sin, turn from my sin and trust Christ. And when I receive Christ, I receive eternal life. I don't say one day I'll get it when I get to heaven. No, I have eternal life now because I have Christ. What a wonderful gift that is, that God showed His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift. It's a gift, undeserved. But when received, the gift of God, eternal life through Christ our Lord. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the question will be this for each of us on this Father's Day. Are you trusting in anything or anyone other than Jesus to save your soul? If you are, though sincere, you're misled. And the encouragement today would be, come into the family. The way you come into the family is by trusting Christ alone. That's the way you come into the family. You're born again when you trust Him. So yes, is God the Father, creator of all mankind? Yes, He created all mankind. Is He the Father, Savior of all mankind? No, He becomes your Savior when you trust Him. And so the question would be, is He my Father God? Is He my Savior? Make sure that you know that you know that you're in the family. Now notice also this. We can praise God for access. In the new covenant in Christ's blood, the New Testament teaches us we have access. That means we get to go into places we couldn't otherwise go. You know, I love these key fobs. You know, these are cool. And I am just so blessed because I got one that opens every door in the place. You know? Man, that's pretty awesome. You know, so I just use that little thing. I can walk in anywhere. You know, when you accept Jesus as Savior, you can walk right into God's presence. Because the Holy God of heaven is your Father now. You're in the family. You get to go in the house. And all the rooms are open to you because you're God's child. What an awesome thing that is. And so this is what the Bible teaches. Ephesians 2:18. For through Him, Jesus, we both, He's speaking of Jews and Gentiles, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We get to go into God the Father's presence now because we have Jesus. 1 John 3 says this. What manner, incredible quality of love the Father has shown on us that we should be called and counted children of God. God counts us as family. We're in the family. And so it is, God cares a lot about families. And so when Jesus began His public ministry, one of the first things He did is found in Matthew 4:18. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee. He sees two brothers, and they were Peter and Andrew. And He says to them, follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You're fishers of fish, but I'm gonna teach you to be fishers of men. Be a follower of Me. And immediately they left their nets and they followed Him. So Jesus' ministry of calling two brothers to follow Him shows us how much God cares about families. He wants your whole family to come to faith. And moms and dads, let me suggest that one of the highest callings we have, grandpas and grandmas too, until the day we die, is praying individually for each one of our children and grandchildren that they'll get in the family. Yes, they're in our biological family, but are they in God's family? How can we lead them to Christ? How can we answer their questions? How can we nurture them and help them? Because they're each different, and they each have their own questions and issues and problems. How can we work with them to see each one of them come to a genuine heart relationship with Jesus? That's one of our highest callings as parents and as dads in particular. And so this is what it's all about, understanding the elements of prayer. Now look at this second element, the privilege of worship and praise. He comes in a spirit of worship and praise, and He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Believers attribute worth deserved to God. Back to His name, representing His person and His work, His name, studying the names of God. He is Jehovah. He is Savior. He is Rock. He's Sustainer. And as we study His names in the Bible, we appreciate more and more of who He is. The name Father tells us much of who He is. So we enter into His presence with praise. Remember that in Psalm 100 verse 4? Enter into God's gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That's what this prayer is doing. Notice it's like a sandwich. You'll see it at the end. The prayer starts with praise, hallowed be Thy name. And it ends with praise, to Thine be the glory and the power forever. Our prayers ought to be filled with praise, shouldn't they? We should just be praising God, putting life into the perspective of who God is at the beginning of our prayers and at the end of our prayers. And when you stop to think about it, you say, well, what will I praise Him for? For every good thing in your life. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Think about everything that you have that's good. Sight. Isn't it great to be able to see? Hearing. Taste. Touch. Emotion. For many of us, the gift of marriage. What a gift. God designed that. The gift of children. The gift of enjoying a sunrise and a sunset. the gift of appreciating creation and the design of God, the gift of hope, the gift of love, the gift of salvation and eternal life. Every good thing in your life, where did it come from? Came from God. Are we thanking Him? Are we appreciating Him? Are we just letting God know how much we love Him? Because we understand a little bit that everything we have came from Him. And everything we hope to have in eternity comes from Him. And that hope is a confidence because it's based on His Word. So the privilege of worship, the privilege of praise of God, our prayer, you don't wait for Sunday to worship God. You're doing it corporately because God commands, don't forsake the gathering. And there's something special that happens when we connect together as a group. But your worship is in your own private home and heart and family. It's there every day. That's what the Father seeks, is those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so we praise Him. We worship Him, His person and His work. We're thankful. We honor Him, God our Father. And so if you've gotten out of the habit of gathering together, I'm so thankful to see some of you able to be back just physically, illnesses and other things and all the COVID stuff. But there's something about gathering together, like we sang today, about the greatness of our God, that emotionally, spiritually, mentally links us together as a body of Christ, as a believer in Christ, as a family of Christ. And this is something that is a blessing as we praise God privately and we also praise God corporately. Now notice another element here, the exercise of faith. The prayer says, "Thy kingdom come." Now this is then an exercise of faith. Lord, I believe in a kingdom. I believe in the kingdom of God. Now when you have a kingdom, you got a king, right? And so God is King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. And so we are acknowledging when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," that there is a King who rules. We understand through our study of the Bible, we believe in the future earthly and eternal kingdom of God, that it's sure, that as messed up as things get right now when we watch the news, and it can be pretty discouraging, we know there's a future kingdom coming that will be perfect. And so it is, Jesus said in Matthew 8, "I say to you that many will come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." He was teaching, it's not just Jews that are going to be in heaven. It's Jews and Gentiles who are believers in God's Son, Jesus, will enjoy then the blessings of salvation in God's eternal kingdom when God rules on earth and in the new heaven and the new earth. But notice verse 12, he also said this, "And the children of the kingdom," he's referring just to Israel, people who were just Israelites physically, but they were never born again spiritually, "shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." He speaks here of the eternal agonies of hell awaiting those who are only Jews outwardly, and they're not inwardly born again into God's family through faith in Jesus. So as believers, we understand, we're learning more and more about the kingdom of God. We believe that all evil will be destroyed in the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation, John looks by faith. Chapter 21, he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heavens, the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Aren't you looking forward to that day? He's going to wipe away all the tears. "There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away." We believe in the eternal kingdom of God. There's a future kingdom coming that we're looking forward to when God makes all things new. But we also believe in the present spiritual kingdom or reign of Christ in our hearts, we who are believers. In Genesis 15, Old Testament believer Abraham, he believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. Paul quotes that text in Romans 4. Abraham believed God, it was counted to him for righteousness. So we understand through the scriptures that sinners are saved by faith. It's not by our works, it's not by our religiosity, it's by faith. It's by faith alone in Christ alone, by believing God's word and promises. The spiritual reign And presence of Christ in your life begins the moment you trust Jesus as your Savior. The kingdom is among you. If you're a believer in Jesus, the kingdom is in you. Christ rules in your life, and you're learning to submit to that rule and live under that rule. Now, we understand then that Adam's sin brought death into the world, separation, suffering, destruction. But we have faith in God's power to work all things together for good, even in this fallen world, to them that love God. Our last year's flood, we've seen recovery. We've seen blessings of people coming to trust Christ as Savior through the most difficult of circumstances. Out of our losses and difficulties, we see believers becoming more sensitive to help each other. We see Christians not only thinking on our own things, but learning now to be more sensitive to the things of others. So these are all part of how God is working to teach us to pray for God's kingdom to come on earth, just as it is perfectly fulfilled in heaven. God, we want to see you work. We want to see you work in our lives. Now notice then another element of prayer, the active submission of my will to God's will. The prayer says this, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is our prayer. We as believers know we're in a fallen world. It's a spiritual battle every day. That's why you're getting in your Bible, you're reading it, you're praying daily, you're worshiping regularly with other believers. Why? Because you realize I need God. I need his strength every day to stand in a fallen world. And so we don't cave in to Satan's pressure to push us into the world's mold, to go his way. We actively submit our will to God's will so that God's will is fulfilled through us, even in a fallen world. We ask God, glorify your Son through me, now and in eternity. God, I take seriously my responsibility to pray that God will lead me and empower me and give me the things he's already promised. But I want those promises to be fulfilled in my life as I am faithful. You promised power to witness to others. Acts 1, you will receive power. You will be my witness. Lord, I'm not naturally bold, but give me your power to be a loving witness. Lord, boldness. I'm not a naturally bold person, but the early Christians were up against it. They didn't have a society that just encouraged Christian faith. They had Rome threatening and imprisoning people. They had the Jewish establishment beating Christians. And yet when they were beaten and threatened in Acts 4, they gathered together and they prayed, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. They prayed for the boldness that they needed, and God gave it to them. Paul, even in prison for being a witness for Christ, said in Ephesians 6, pray for me that I will have the utterance, the words to speak, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel as I ought. And so we pray for boldness. We pray for our daily needs, not just physical, but spiritual. I need power to witness. I need grace to be bold. I need to be a disciple maker. Matthew chapter 28, go into the world, make disciples. I'm with you always. Well, Lord, I need your power to do that. I only can do that through you. And then we as dads in particular saying, God, I need your power with all the busyness of life to take as a high priority your command in Deuteronomy 6, that I as a dad am to be a spiritual leader in my family. I have a responsibility to make time to teach my family God's word. And so at mealtime, at bedtime, throughout the day, I'm to be a communicator of God's truth. That means I've got to have God's truth in me to be able to share it with others. And this is something I take seriously. God, help me to do this. Help me to fulfill my God-given role. I was so blessed as I got a phone call from one of our sons. David called on Friday. And we just got to talk, and we were talking about Father's Day and everything coming up. And confess your faults one to another. I've told him this before, so he's probably getting tired of hearing it. But I always like to try to encourage him. He's a dad. He's doing his. And I said, you know, as a dad, one of the things I do differently, I'm a teacher. I love to teach. And we talked about the Bible, and we did discuss it. We read the proverb for the day, and we all discussed what verse did you like best and how would you apply it to your life. So we did have a lot of interaction. But I tended to approach things much as a teacher. That's just my natural bent. I wish the book had been written back in the day you guys were growing up of Shepherding the Heart of a Child. That book is so good because it shows the importance not just of teaching this way, but of communicating two ways and asking your kids, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you choosing? And then helping them to reason their way through their own emotions, their own thoughts, their own personal temperament to the truth in Christ. I think I could have done a lot better job of that. And he's always very gracious and encouraging. And he says, well, Dad, one thing you guys worked really hard at was to teach every one of us boys to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You taught us to read our Bible daily and to pray and to talk with God. And I thought back, I said, yeah, we did. We worked at that. We encouraged that. That was one of our prayers because we knew that if they could develop a personal relationship with Jesus while they were in our home, one day they'd be away from our influence. But that personal relationship with Jesus would continue for a lifetime. And that's what we coveted. That's what we prayed for and longed for. And he said, Dad, God did it. And I said, to God be the glory. We prayed for that, but you can't make that happen. You can't force that into somebody else's life. It's a God thing, but you can encourage it, and you can seek to model it, and you can seek to pray for it. And so let me encourage us today, as we seek to connect our children to God by our life example and prayers, we seek to connect our lives and marriages and families to other believers through the local church, life groups, Sunday school classes, Bible studies. We realize the key is it's all got to start in the home. A home that loves Jesus, that loves God, and that demonstrates a personal relationship with God. And now we start praying, thy will be done. And the more we're in the Word, the more we know what God's will is. We don't have to wonder what the will of God is. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, your moral purity. This is the will of God, that you bear much fruit to the glory of the Father. And we start to pray, God, give us fruit in our family, in our lives. Send me a vision to bear much fruit as a Spirit-filled, abiding Christian. You've chosen us to bear much fruit that will remain. Lord, we're longing for much fruit. We're praying for that in our home. I'm not going to be afraid to ask big things from God because he's a big God. He promised much fruit, that the Father would be glorified. What is fruit in the Bible? Souls saved, praise offered to God, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, the fruit of giving, the fruit of serving, the fruit of answered prayer, of seeing God work in answer to prayer. These are things we're praying for. I hope you're praying right now for the ministries here at Calvary. We have such an increased enrollment for the fall, we need more teachers. Isn't that a great problem? But it's a challenge. So pray for more teachers for our Christian school. I don't want to turn anybody away that wants a Christian, God-centered worldview from having a Christian education. So pray, we need some more teachers. How about right here in our church? We need some more children's workers. We need some more children's workers. As we see ministries start up again, and Sunday schools and all these things, we need more children's workers. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest field. So as we pray, thy will be done, it's not a nebulous thing. We study our Bible and we find out what the Bible says is God's will. It is God's will to bear much fruit. It is God's will to make disciples. And we say, God, do it. Do it for your glory. And somehow in the sovereignty of God, he chooses to work through his word and our faith in his word and our prayers. So may we pray that way, thy will be done. Now another element of prayer, request for daily physical, temporal, and spiritual needs. See that in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. God took on a body in the Son, in the person of God the Son. He wept. He had grief, he had loss, he had pain. He understands our needs. We can come to him with every need. Bread is just the starting point. You need it or you're going to die physically. So he's teaching us, don't be afraid to ask for what you need. Come to God with whatever your daily needs are. You need physical needs to be sustained, emotional. You have needs, spiritual needs. Come to God with all your needs. He is your source. He's your creator. You didn't create yourself. Go to him. Go to him daily. You need wisdom, and he promises wisdom in James. You need strength. He promises strength in Philippians. You need leadership. He's promised he's put his Holy Spirit in you to lead you and direct you. Again, we didn't create ourselves. We're not self-sufficient. Paul, as gifted as he was, said, you know, I have some weaknesses and some God hasn't taken away, even though I asked it, because when I'm weak, then I depend more on him. And then it becomes strong through him. and that's okay. I am willing to be a humble, God-dependent person all the days of my life. That's what God wants us to do. And then we get to the heart of the prayer. Request for the spiritual needs, including forgiveness of sin. What do we need more than anything else? We need our sins forgiven. That's what we need, our sins forgiven. And so the Luke account uses the word trespasses. This account uses the word debts. So because we've broken God's law, we owe a debt to God. The debt for sin is death. We've transgressed God's lines. We're sinners. What do we need more than anything else? We need forgiveness. And so it is. I talked with one of the men in our church this last week on this very subject as we were out in the gallery. And we talked about the fact that we need forgiveness. Now, we need to understand that when we repent and we believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus on the cross, we trust Him and put our faith in Him, we are once for all born into the family. You don't get born again and again and again. You get born into a family once, okay? When you receive Jesus, you become God's child. You may not fully grasp it or understand it, but once you trust Him, He forgives your sins past, present, and future, because any sin would separate you from a holy God. You couldn't be in His family, right? But there's another aspect of forgiveness of sin, and that is, as a child of God, you're not perfect, but you're forgiven. You have a new heart now. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have a new desire to do His will, but you still have that fleshly part of your humanness, and you will sin at times. You need to confess sin daily to your Father, who is your Father. You're in His family. You're asking Him, Lord, I don't want anything to steal the joy of my fellowship with You. You're my Father. You don't kick me out of the family every time I make a mistake. It's not that kind of home. You have an unconditional love for me. Once I truly am born again, I'm in the family. But now as a child, I need to grow up to become more like my Father. I need to become more like Jesus. And so daily we're confessing sin, not to get saved over and over again, but because we are saved. And we are a Christian, and we want to be a growing Christian. And we want to be more like our Father by keeping short accounts with God. This is so important for us all to see that believers in Christ have a once-for-all justification. We're declared just legally in the eyes of God. We have a positional righteousness. Romans 5, we're justified by faith and we have peace with God. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become children of God. Whatever age you are, you need to know you're in the family. You need to know, I have trusted Him. Then believers who are now in the family, 1 John 3, beloved, now we are the children of God. We don't wait to get to heaven. We're His children now. But then we need daily fellowship. Believers need forgiveness and righteousness in our walk of faith with God our Father. 1 John 1 says to believers, those who are already trusting Christ, if we believers in Christ say that we have no sin, I'm perfect. I've arrived. We're deluding ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We believers in Christ confess freely, admit, say the same thing about our sin. God says He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. So as believers, we need to keep really short accounts with God, don't we? That is, we're reading our Bible daily so the Spirit is keeping our sensitive conscience that we're spotting sin in our life, pride, unbelief, selfishness. And as soon as we spot it, we confess it. We don't let it grow. We don't let it spread like a cancer. Confessing sin daily and immediately at the first awareness of that sin, of grieving the Spirit or disobeying God, is so important. Determine in your heart, my life goal, like Paul's, is to have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. That doesn't mean you're perfect. It just means when you sin, you deal with it. You confess it. You get it right with God right away. That's the way we need to walk. That's the way we need to live. And so we're saved not by forgiving others. We receive forgiveness by grace through faith in Christ. Ephesians says that. Salvation's a very expensive gift. Christ gave His all, but it's free to us, and we reach out the empty hand of faith and receive Him. And then as believers, we see ourselves on common ground with all the other sinners. That is, I don't deserve this. It's God's grace. The forgiveness of all my sins by God is way greater than the pile of sin of one person toward me. How can I hold their sins, which is so small, against them when God has forgiven me all this? There's no room for grudges. There's no room for an unforgiving spirit. We are to forgive even as we have been forgiven freely, abundantly, through Jesus Christ. Request then for spiritual needs of the help of victory over temptation and the power of sin daily. Lead us not, verse 13, into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're praying, God, your word promises you won't allow me to be tempted above all that I'm able, but you'll make a way of escape in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, Lord, work that out in my life. It's a promise, but I have to make use of that promise. Show me the way of escape. When I have temptation come in overwhelmingly, help me to look for the window. A door shuts, let me look for the window. There's always a way to say no to sin. Let me never rationalize I have to sin. No, that's a lie from the devil. Show me the way of escape and give me the desire and the power to take it whenever I am tempted. This needs to be our prayer. Protect me, Lord. Protect me spiritually. And then notice the sandwich again as we wrap up our thoughts. The beginning and ending of prayer with praise. How did he begin? Hallowed be thy name. You're my Father. I praise you. How's he ending the prayer? Look at it. In the closing verses here in verse 13, he comes in, he says, we acknowledge God's kingdom above all kingdoms. Thine is the kingdom. He says, we acknowledge our total dependence on God. Thine is the power. We acknowledge total praise and glory is belonging to God forever. Thine is the glory forever. He starts with praise. He ends with praise. Here's the application. Would you, based on this model prayer, take this as a model for you to go deeper in your intimate prayer life with your Heavenly Father? Would you take this as a model that you will begin to exercise and practice? Would you say, I now affirm my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? That's how God is my Father, is through Jesus. Would you acknowledge, Lord, I seek to begin and close my prayers with praise. So much of my prayer is just asking for stuff for me, and that's appropriate. You told me to ask, but Lord, let me put it in perspective of who you are. Would you say, I will seek God's kingdom and will in my life. I want Christ to rule in me. I want his will in my life, in every circumstance. He knows best. I will go to God in prayer for all of my needs. I have temporal needs, daily needs, physical needs. I have spiritual needs. I'm going to go to God for both. I need protection in a fallen world. I will then seek to be transformed by the daily privilege of talking directly to the Creator God of the universe, who is also the God who orchestrated my salvation. I'll go and talk to him. Now, here's your assignment. Here's your assignment. I want you to be encouraged by the model prayer. And I want you to take the words of this prayer, and then I'm trying to tell you something that I work at. I'm not arrived, but I work at this. I'll sometimes write down some notes and go for a walk. I saw my dad do that. He'd meditate in God's word, and then he'd pray God's word back to God. And that gets it into your soul. It renews your mind. It refocuses your emotions. It redirects your will. And pretty soon you're on the same page with God. That's how God wants to work. So take this prayer and go for a prayer walk. If you've memorized it, you can just do it in your head. If you haven't, just put it on a card. And then just go for a walk. And just come before God and say, Our Father, which art in heaven. God, you're my Father. Thank you. I've accepted Jesus. I remember when I trusted him, and I'm still trusting you now. Hallowed be thy name. God, thank you. You're a holy God. I rejoice in your holiness, and you made a way for me, an unholy person, to be in your family and to be forgiven. Thy kingdom come. Yes, Lord, rule in my life, and I'm looking forward to the day Jesus comes back and straightens things out, because the politicians will never get it right. And then just talk to him some more. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will is done perfectly in heaven. God, help us to get things straight down here. And I can't be responsible for the whole world, but I want our family to be run God's way. And I want my life to be run God's way. You get the idea? You're taking the thoughts, and it's not just a liturgy. It's you're making it personal. You're taking the concepts. Then you're saying, give us this daily bread. What are all the stuff I need just to get by? Lord, you care about that. It's okay to ask. I'm asking you, here's what I need, and make your list and ask him. He wants you to ask. He's a dad who wants his kids to come and talk to him about our needs. And then say to him, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lord, I am a sinner. I'm a saved sinner if I've accepted Jesus, but I still mess up. Now, here's where I messed up today. And here's where I messed up yesterday. And I was wrong. Will you forgive me and give me a heart to do what's right in the future? Come and just keep that short account with God. And then say to him, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, I need your protection. It's an evil world. In my mind, my thoughts, what I look at, man, I'm getting all kinds of texts right now for pornography, and I got to figure out how to block it. I've asked some of the guys in here, show me how to block this junk. You know, I don't open them up, but it's the world we live in. It's a rotten, sinful world. And we just need to say, God, protect me. Protect me morally and spiritually. And then close your prayer out with, God, thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Thine is the honor. And just praise God. Praise him together. You know, I was so blessed. I had the privilege. To whom much is given, much is accounted. And I have received much. And I want to be faithful as much as I can. I had a daddy who lived what I'm telling you. Okay? My sister's here. She can say the same thing. He was a preacher, but he didn't preach it on Sunday and not live it Monday through Saturday. We saw it. It was the real thing. So every day he was in his word, reading his Bible. He prayed to God privately. He kept a prayer journal. He prayed with the family. He prayed with people. Prayer was just the lifeblood of his, how he existed. He existed not off his own energy or temperament or personality. He existed off of God's strength. And so I got to see this in action. Now I realize some of you never had that privilege. But you have the privilege of growing into that, whatever you did or didn't have. You can have this growing intimate relationship with God. And so my assignment, I believe God's assignment for you is this. Take this prayer and use it as a model for your prayers. Let these elements become part of how you just talk with God and communicate with God regularly. Another little acrostic that all these aspects, I think, can be abbreviated into a little acrostic, P-R-A-Y. Spend time praising God. Spend time repenting and confessing sin. Spend time asking for spiritual, physical, and other needs. Spend time yielding to the Holy Spirit, to God's will in your life. And then close out with more praise. P-R-A-Y-P. Put another P at the end of it. That's your assignment. And I know by God's grace, there are going to be many of you down the road, you're going to look back and you're going to say, you know, I remember on that Father's Day, God gave us a message about how we could talk more intimately with our Heavenly Father. And I don't want just a surface relationship with my dad, my spiritual father. We call him Papa, Abba Father. It's not irreverent. He says, come to me. I want to be your endearing father. I love you. I gave my son for you. And you know what? When I got that call from David on Friday, that's the best Father's Day present I could ever get. And so, dads, what's the best gift you could give to your family? Grow into becoming men like this. This should be our goal. Men who pray and see God work kids and your grandkids through a prayer life that's real. What's the greatest gift we kids can give to our father? Just to come to him and praise him, thank him. And your dad may not have been perfect, but he's still your dad. And if he's still alive, get on the phone, connect with him, and tell him, I love you, and I thank you for being my dad, because that's what the Heavenly Father wants. He wants us to love him and to talk to him and to be in his presence.